kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
Kings of freedom, men around the planet, and indeed, we're just in episode number 3, and looking at the analytics, only 2 episodes thus far, and celebrating that I think we've reached 10 countries worldwide and gaining traction. So really in deep appreciation to those who have listened in thus far and you listening in today and going forward, just in total appreciation of your presence here. Today I am talking about one of the most core important aspects of conscious masculinity, of sacred masculinity, of optimizing and just improving your inner experience as a man. Like, Kings of Freedom is all about inner freedom, then translates into outer freedom. You can't have that outer fearless freedom and kingly confidence until your inner working, that masculine mastery, is running smooth on the inside. And at the core of that is the balance, the integrated balance between your masculine and feminine as a conscious male. The important thing here is, as always, is just to make sure that masculine and feminine is not understood in terms of male and female. It's only through social conditioning and shaming of our inner feminine that all things feminine have become sort of understood and interpreted by sort of unconscious masculinity as being everything feminine. Well, that's female, that's womanly, that's, you're a pussy if you sort of tap into any of your feminine aspects as a young boy, as a young teenager, young man. In modern Western society, there's so much shaming of that. So it's really core, sort of for you that are maybe very new to this. This could be your first time actually hearing about masculine and feminine. And, you know, I welcome you in as this is a, if this is a first time sort of a hearing of this as a concept, it's fucking a beautiful place to start. And my invitation is to those of you that, you know, you might be a little bit more in the know, or you're more familiar with masculine and feminine. I also invite you with that bit more experience in hearing these terms to sort of approach this episode with a zen-like, a beginner's mind. You know, our masculine, the rational mind, we like bringing this sense of control that we sort of know it all. This sense of certainty, this external sense of facade of we know our shit. By default, we just know our shit. So sometimes we can have this element of the subconscious mind that goes, well, I know this, you know, I've ticked that box, you know, I'm here to just listen in a little bit, but I already have this sorted. I'll remind this again and again, you know, repetition is mastery. Masculine mastery, repetition is a part of that. One of the most important parts of masculine mastery and deep life transformative learning is bringing that beginner's mind. It's one thing to intellectually understand the topic. It's quite a different thing to have the full unstoppable embodiment of that idea, of that concept within your being. That's a whole life process. So within that context, intellectual understanding, if you have it, wonderful. Your invitation is on a deepening. For you, that's just a first time. Brilliant. You're the beginning of the intellectual. So it's just to cover that whole array. It's not about male and female. It's about masculine and feminine. Just the basics of it. You know, every man has masculine and feminine aspects. Every woman has masculine and feminine aspects. What this episode is not about is going into all the qualities and traits and the breakdown of the masculine and feminine, because in some senses, we can get lost as men in that way. We like all this information. We have been trained to sort of camp out predominantly in our rational mind, the magician archetype. So we like, the more information we have, the more empowered we feel we can be. I want to really cut through all of this ocean of information that can be out there to get to the essential core, the most important part of an inner understanding of masculine and feminine. That on observation, having been in sort of masculine work now for a good number of years, and what I sort of feel I've observed, that I've noticed is this most essentialized core sort of gets missed. And it's not that it gets missed, that it's not taught, but it's almost like the emphasis, I don't believe, is put on it enough that guys actually drop in to realize just how important it is. Because so often what I hear, and I know what happened in my own case, is like the masculine and feminine so often gets translated in conversations between, you know, conscious men doing men's work. It's the masculine and feminine. It's male, female. It's you and your goddess, your queen. And I call that the secondary masculine, feminine relationship. Is it important? Hell yeah, it's important. I'm absolutely all in for, loving the external feminine. I have my beautiful goddess, my queen, Matilde. So important for me. It's a core aspect of my life as a man. In my expression of masculine mastery is learning to master how I as a man, you know, integrate my fullness in living in my full truth, but also being able to do that in a seamless, effortless way, as effortless as is possible in my road to deepening my mastery, integrating my truth with the emerging, full, powerful, unapologetic expression of my queen's truth, of my goddess's truth, her leaning into her full, the chaotic, unpredictable goddess expression, learning how to do that dance. That's important, and I'm going to be talking in episodes about that. Yet, that's the secondary. The primary masculine-feminine relationship is within us, is within your mind, your being. This is what the core essence of this episode is going to be about, and is of massive, massive importance. I'm overemphasizing. Let's just jump in on a deeper level. Why the primary masculine and feminine relationship is so important is because everything that happens on the outside of you is a direct reflection of what's happening on your inside. So, you know, your relationship with money on the outside is a direct reflection of your relationship with money on the inside. If you're having massive fears about money on the inside, you have these insecurities about money, you have these old money wounds, until you work out that relationship on the inside, you're not going to have much success with money and welcoming in money and having a nice relationship, external relationship with money on the outside. So the primary produces the secondary. And this is why I just bring your attention. If you want to master your life, if you want to create a beautiful, thriving, amazing, deep, intimate, trusting, fucking sexually energized, amazing relationship with your feminine on the outside, well, you've got to focus on the primary, your inner masculine-feminine relationship. The primary always produces the secondary. The key thing here to understand is if you look at most relationship books, most relationship teachers, podcasts, information out there, so much of the focus is on the secondary. What strategies you need to implement with your woman, what things you should say, what things you should do, how you should set up, how you should show up. It's predominantly on the secondary. So here at Kings of Freedom, we go to the primary. We unapologetically go to the primary. It mightn't seem the easy path, but that's the path of mastery. Mastery is not always easy. That's why so very few men actually dedicate themselves and align their life around mastery. If you don't really like this message, maybe Kings of Freedom is not the movement for you. But I'm speaking to the core part of you that desires full freedom, full, massive, unapologetic, have-it-all type lifestyle. You must start with the primary. the metaphor that is often used and is so important is, you know, the masculine is the stillness of the storm, the feminine is the whipping movement, it's the non-stop movement. My relationship with this actually, and like this is just to bring a more embodied element to what I'm talking to you about. This is not an intellectual journey. Like you can't learn about this in an intellectual way in many senses. Mastery only comes from, you know, jumping into the fire of life. You can't intellectually study, and then go in and master. You test yourself by challenge. No pressure, no diamond. That's the king's of freedom way. My greatest learning in this actually happened last year. I've had so much deep learning, obviously, within the arena of marriage, of deep intimacy with my queen. Of course. But on the primary masculine-feminine relationship, one of the most transformative inner learnings I have had as a man that brought me to a ground of sacred humility. Remember, humility comes from the word humus. Humus is ground. The ground of truth. The truth hurts, but the truth sets you free. It's repetition is mastery. It's a core concept here at Kings of Freedom. Last year, I was brought to the ground of sacred humility in the most spectacular way possible in my personal journey to overcome asthma. Little bit of background, I've had asthma from maybe mid-college days when a whole heap of shit, psychosomatic stuff came up, my lack of confidence, self-esteem. I was going through a real, incredibly intense, challenging time in my life, and yeah, just a whole heap of shit was coming to the surface in a quite an uncontrollable manner. I wasn't really consciously going through that process at the time. At that time, the symptoms that would be called medically, it was diagnosed as asthma. Deep restrictive breathing, breathlessness and exercise and etc. etc. It's sort of grounded in. You're probably quite familiar with asthma. If you have it yourself, a lot of people have, or you're probably familiar with some friends, family members having it. This sort of progressed and I ended up sort of discontinuing playing sport. I was trying to deal with it. With the support of my queen, with herbs, with sort of meditation, with relaxation, etc. And I could get to a certain point, but at the beginning of 2020, I had an exacerbation of my asthma. I was doing such ferociously deep inner work in my masculine inner healing that all these anxieties, all these fears bubbled to the surface. And I think it was just in this massive shake-up of my inner being and a martial rehaul, like there was massive change happening in my inner and outer life, that I believe sort of the asthma kicked up with quite a kick-up. I mean, the beginning of 2020, if I bring myself back there, like literally for, I'd say about two and a half months, you know, it was like 6 out of every 7 nights I was sleeping maybe 3, 3.5, 4 hours per night. A lot of that sleep was even broken up in itself, which ended up, I was up reading books. I ended up just getting up, couldn't really breathe. Didn't really want to go taking the inhaler, but sometimes in the end I ended up having to take the inhaler. It was sort of, for me, it was almost like a perceived failure in my self-management of it. So I was really hesitant to do that. Little bit of stubbornness there, maybe I could have, and self-reflection afterwards, could have minded myself a little bit better. But anyway, I was really wanting to find a way out of it. And in the end, I was forced to find options to overcome this. It was beginning to erode my confidence, erode my vitality as a man, my sort of masculine, that sort of directional core, the warrior core, I'll fight through this. That power was sort of, was dwindling away. So I ended up reaching out to my who would be my eventual breathwork coach, Leo Daniel Ryan, who I can't recommend more. Check him out, Innate Strength. His website, his work, if you want to upgrade your breath work, do any work with respiratory disorders, or you're working as an athlete, or you just want to sort of upgrade your breath work, your inner calm and that. Leo, Daniel Ryan, can't advise him more. He has been a lifesaver for me and continues to be with my work with him. I started working with Leo, and Leo, interestingly enough, he was straight in the first Zoom call together. He was like, "Mark, the driving emotion of asthma is fear." It's like, whoa. He was like, just like, pretty much that's it in a nutshell. Psychosomatic. I knew there was a psychosomatic form, driving force behind my asthma, but he's like, it's fear. And one thing I remember is Leo saying in that first session was, he's like, "Mark, there's this misconception that you can, as men, you know, we like to feel like, you know, you need to drive outside the comfort zone." And it still sticks with me. He's like, "You know, you can't actually, you can try it, but if you drive outside of your comfort zone," he's like, "your body is going to kick up. So if you want to nudge, push your comfort zone and nudge beyond it. And if you go into your discomfort outside the comfort zone," he's like, "you're going to have to learn new strategies to help your nervous system cope with that." Famous sort of last words. I sort of listened to this and I was like, yeah, I intellectually got it, but I had this warrior part where I wanted to fucking really work at it. So a core part amongst many different things that Leo integrated into my asthma training, there was an incredibly concise and a comprehensive program. One of the core trainings was to improve my carbon dioxide tolerance. Carbon dioxide is a driving factor, or a low tolerance to carbon dioxide levels is a driving factor with asthma. You don't really have to know. Like, if you've an interest, you can study more the Buteyko method, etc., and check out Leo's work. But a carbon dioxide physiological intolerance is a driving force. So one of the key exercises that I was put on was to improve my carbon dioxide tolerance was the breath hold exercise, where effectively, just imagine this is what I was doing. It's like, I just, at from standing, bring my breathing down to a very sort of slow, calm breath pace, take a breath in, breathe out, close my mouth, peg my nose, and start walking as fast as I could, counting my steps. And Leo did this. I had to get as far as I could on that one breath to my maximum amount of steps before I just had to take another breath. To give you a little bit of context here, day one with Leo, Leo got me to go outside to check this, and I got to 42. And I tell you guys, I got to 42 and I had this thought, it was like, if I take another bloody step, I'm going to faint, I'm going to drop, I'm going to smash my forehead off the off the tarmac road outside. I really was at that limit. 42 steps. I was like overwhelmed, this badass gush of panic through my system, feeling like I was going to drop. I came back into Leo, and Leo sort of smiled. It's like, "Brilliant, Mark. Now the aim is to get to 100 steps. That you can do 100 steps holding your breath. And you can do that with 10 repetitions and 1 minute break in between them. And do that 3 times per day. And you've got to get to an average of 100 steps per day for a week or two. And that's you at your point." Guys, I was nearly dying at 42 steps. Now Leo was saying that in the training to get to 100 and to an average of 100. The twist in the tail was Leo sort of said, he was like, "Okay, it takes about 10 to 12 weeks to get to that 100 steps point." This is where the competitive, unconscious, masculine conditioning, playing sports all my life, leaning in. I had two older brothers, so there was this competition within me to always try and outdo my older brothers. This is the way of, you know, receiving sort of, being a part of the big boys. This competitive nature in me sort of, I laugh at myself now. Maybe you can relate with this competitive side. I sort of like politely said, "Oh yeah, thanks Leo, like it'll take 10 to 12 weeks. But on the inside I was like, "Bullshit. I'm going to fucking do it in 10 days. I literally said 10 days. So I started my training. And this is all going to make a lot of sense about the masculine and feminine. The masculine core presence and the thoughts and emerging emotions being the feminine of the storm. I went in competitive style. I went in saying, you know, within 10 days I'm going to have like the 100 step average. And I hit that. But the deep learning in this story starts here. After 4 days, I had hit my first 100 steps max. I hit one of them. But the way I was doing it was going, leaning into what I would call a hyper-masculine mode. Yes, I had leadership. Yes, I had directionality, decisiveness. I had this warrior linearity. It was, I had to get to 100. I had my goal-oriented, purpose-driven, monofocused masculine core on full show, which is an amazing aspect of my being and of your being. Like, touching base with you, I'd say some of the most incredible things you have achieved is by tapping into that masculine core. So none of what I'm saying here is that the masculine core is anything to not to be proud of. It's an amazing thing. And some of the greatest things that the greatest men in history, past, present, and into the future, have created from is from the masculine core. So it's a beautiful thing. It's in the balance that that I found, and yeah, it's in the imbalance that it cost me dearly. I went all in, and after 4 days, I hit 100. And I remember coming in sort of like all victorious, as like, you know, these other people, they take 10 to 12 weeks. I've hit 100 after 4 days. I was maxed out. Like, this was me suppressing these thoughts of fear-driven thoughts, emotions that were explosive within me. To get to 100, like pegging my nose, I had to suppress such emotional uprisings of fear, of what I now call anxiety, of panic. But I did it. After 10 days, I had hit the 100 average. I got to my first 100 steps by 10, and I did it 3 times after 10 days. And I was there victorious. The heroic man, the competitive nature in me was like, I fucking nailed it. I got there. The average mediocre person, that takes 10 to 12 weeks, but not me, not Mark Usher. Masculine mastery coach, you know, I'm the man. The good old sacred humiliation process was just about to unfold. What hit me like a fucking brick truck train, what do you call it? What hit me so hard, guys, was it was completely unsustainable. I hate it, yeah. But I ended up experiencing such anxiety, such emotional pressure, such fear, leading up to the next session. Once I hit the 100, here is the thing. The hyper-masculine, the unconscious competitive part in me saw it as a failure to back off. Saw it as a failure. It's like, you've hit 100, Mark. You can't back off now. You know, you've hit that level. So once I had hit it, I had to keep at that standard. So remember, it was 100 steps by 10 for 3 training sessions per day. What ended up happening was, you know, I was going off to bed sort of worrying about the morning session. I was having thoughts of worry. I was having thoughts of, geez, you won't be able, are you able to sustain this? Are you able to do this? I mean, you've done it today, but I was having worry about it. I'd wake up and I'd have a pit in my stomach thinking about what I had to go through. I mean, I don't know if you know, like, the context, if you've anything to compare it with, it was actually incomparable to every other single training, physical, mental training I'd ever been through to this point. I'd done jiu-jitsu, I'd done high-level soccer training, high-level Gaelic football, Irish football training, to really intense and quite a high level. I'd never, ever experienced anything of the intensity of how this was challenging me in an inner and outer sense, physically, mentally, emotionally, my nervous system was at the edge. But I pretended to be able to persist. The cost was emotionally, as I say, this anxiety was beginning to pervade my everyday life. I literally was pushing myself to the point that I was shitting myself, like literally shitting myself 6 or 7 times a day. And, you know, it sounds so crazy for me thinking back, but at that time, I didn't have available to me this awareness of how much I was avoiding what my bodily intelligence was telling me. This feminine inside me, the feeling body, the form, the intelligence of my body was screaming at me. This is not sustainable. It was screaming at me with the communication from my nervous system of massive anxiety, of fear, of panic, of all these emotional uprisings. It's like, slow down. It was saying to me, like, slow down. My thoughts, the whirlwind of thoughts, the storm of thoughts was like all this self-doubt, self-denigration, self-critical mind. That inner critic was running amok. You know, I was getting to 60, 70 steps and it was saying, you can't do this anymore, you're no good. All this inadequacy was coming out, which, you know, to a point there is a warrior training that, you know, like you just push through, push, push, push. At the time I was listening to David Goggins. I don't know if you're familiar with David Goggins. David Goggins is this ex-Navy SEALs, like self-proclaimed, he trains himself to be the hardest man alive. And it was sort of getting me through. But David Goggins sort of, he definitely, I believe on observation and now with this self-reflection after my experience, he gets to his incredible points by sort of suppressing his inner feminine and the thoughts and emotions. And there is a power to it. But I was becoming, it was becoming unsustainable because this level of anxiety and fear that I was suppressing, but I actually couldn't suppress, it was beginning to permeate my capacity to show up as a man, to be present with Matilda, with the girls, etc., etc. So my hyper-masculine approach got me to the, you know, 10-day achievement, but I just couldn't sustain it. And ultimately, I didn't hit the 10-12 week mark. I had another parameter that I was meant to hit, which was a breath hold first thing in the morning, of 40 seconds before I had my first impulse to breathe. I didn't hit that. And that first session, what Leo said, is like, you can nudge the comfort zone out physiologically in the nervous system, but you can't go beyond that. I worked against that. I went against my own body. I wasn't listening to my body and my body kicked back, as Leo said, but like, you know, my competitive side sort of ignored the advice, and it was an embodied learning, like all learnings are. Just touch base with yourself. Like, have you ever sort of, like in physical training, mental training, have you ever pushed beyond your comfort zones to the point at which maybe you ignored the bodily intelligence, what it was saying to you, that maybe if you pegged it back a little bit and created a more sustainable way of approaching your business, etc., etc., that it might have been a little bit of a wiser path. So I was reaching this point of learned humility, finding that ground of truth where I was at. Full transparency, guys. It ended up taking me, I took 8 or 9 months to hit that point, to overcome 99% of asthma symptoms. I still do my breath work on a daily basis. But the only way I overcame it was, I learned at maybe month 5 or 6, I learned that you're forcing this so much, and it took me a long time to learn it. But what I was doing in the practice was suppressing. I was like, had this hard approach. I was like, almost like, I didn't want to deal with this anxiety. I was coming in with Matilda. I was sort of saying and commenting at the table, it's like, the breathwork is causing me this anxiety. The breathwork causes me these fears to come up. The breathwork is causing this, all these thoughts to come up. I was putting the sort of the blame, I was pointing the blame at the breathwork. I was shifting the responsibility of these emerging experiences within me to the breathwork. And the biggest gauntlet of fear, the biggest transformation happened when I started owning the experience. What I mean by that, Kings, guys, is I actually just came in one day and I said, you know what? This seems so obvious to me now, but like this was a major breakthrough for myself in my inner learning as a man, along my path to what I now call my masculine-feminine inner relationship, the primary masculine-feminine relationship. I came into Matilda and I said, you know, it's not the breathwork that's causing me this anxiety. The breathwork is revealing an anxiety that I have been suppressing within me for a long time. And this commentary started coming in. It's like, wow, I had this emerging fear today, you know, before the breathwork practice or during when I was like at 0.50 steps, like this massive wave of fear almost took me over. But it's like, it's not the breathwork that has caused it. The breathwork practice today revealed a fear that's in me as a man that has been alive within me, but has been latent, has been repressed and suppressed there for a long time since I was a young boy. And, you know, the inner critic, it's like, it's not the breathwork that's causing it, but it's revealing the level of sort of negative self-judgment that I hold about myself. You know, the more I was challenging myself with the breathwork, pushing my limits, it was revealing how much inner criticism was alive there. That was not revealing because I was living up until that point in a comfort zone where, yeah, the inner critic wasn't revealing, but it just because I was living in a comfortable life built around certainty. So this transformed everything. And it started to transform my secondary relationship with my feminine, with my goddess Matilda, because the crossover effect was I started learning, you know, I had been suppressing my inner feminine. I had been trying to control the emerging inner critic, control the thoughts and the emotions within me. I was taught that. I was, you know, conditioned like 99.999% of men, you may relate to this, shamed out of my connection with my inner emotional landscape, shamed out of, you know, feeling sadness, feeling grief, feeling fear growing up as a boy. You know, you fall down, you cry, you need a help, a hand up. You're just, get the fuck up, get up, you pussy. You know, man up, you know, from our dads, uncles, brothers, society, coaches, in trainings, in sports, you're sort of told to man up, to harden. And, you know, it can get you through, but we end up hardening the outside and remaining with this soft core that sort of is shamed, this isolation inside ourselves where, yeah, we have that pain, but we end up suppressing it and trying to sedate it because, you know, having these anxieties, fears, etc., by conditioning, it's sort of, we're conditioned that it's failure as a man to have fear, to have this inner doubt, to have an inner critic. So we suppress that. So learning to, with sacred humility, to own that, and like the truth hurts, but the truth sets you free, I ended up being able to own where that this was within me. And the crossover effect with the relationship with my queen, with Matilda, was, you know, for so long, maybe you can relate to this as well, for so long in my relationship, in my marriage, in my deep intimate relationship with my queen, I actually subconsciously and consciously many times had the finger directly pointing at her. She was the one that was causing me to be pissed off. It was because of her irrationality. It was because of her hyper-emotionality. It was because of her in this unpredictable fucking shitstorm of emotionality, of grief one minute, of craziness, of non-linearity, of projects, of like this just unexplainable variability of behavior, of projects she was into. One minute she's being coached, next minute she's an artist, next thing she's setting up a podcast, next minute she's doing this house project, next thing she's doing this other thing. I was like, oh, the level of unpredictability I couldn't contain. So I ended up unwittingly shaming that because I had no inner reference of how you could deal with such unpredictability. But the more I learned and leaned in with the breathwork inner experience and learned that these emerging thoughts and emotions, you know, it wasn't the breathwork that was causing it, it was revealing these emotions within me. The more I learned that, well, it wasn't Matilda, it wasn't my queen that was causing these uncomfortable emotions in me. Her presence was revealing fear in me. Fear that I was inadequate as a man to actually step up in a relationship and be good enough for her, be present enough for her. You know, there was anxieties. I had erectile dysfunction. I had all these different things. There was an anxiety within me as a man. And I learned she was not causing it, she was revealing this. Again, the primary masculine-feminine relationship, the more open I became with that, the more I was able to show up in my relationship. And, you know, it was ultimately learning to have a more open, loving relationship with the emerging feminine, with the emerging thoughts and emotions within myself. Instead of seeing it like I was before, like this is just a jar of shit that I need to control, like a teacher exasperated trying to fucking control the class. I mean, a teacher, think about the teacher metaphor for a second. A teacher can control a crazy, chaotic class with lots of bold, unpredictable children by a stern level of control. Suppress them. Be loud. Impose control. But that's what I was trying to do in my breathwork and in my life, in my inner life. I was approaching these unpredictable inner thoughts and emotions like they were a jar of shit, something to be ashamed of and keep under locked away in a lock and key in the back recesses of my mind, which I feel is sort of what we've all been doing as men unwittingly. And yet I started approaching the emerging feminine, the thoughts and emotion. Remember, forget the, it's not the emerging female, the emerging feminine, these thoughts and emotions within me as a jar of secrets. Something that could teach me on a deeper level about myself, leading to masculine mastery. I started seeing these emerging thoughts and emotions in that were being revealed by my breathwork as guideposts, sort of lighting up my path towards learning about myself and towards inner peace. And it was almost like instead of the teacher approach, I started looking at it like I was an old man looking at children play. There was this kingly part to me. It was like a fatherly energy where, you know, that's interesting. Anxiety has revealed today. Oh, that's interesting, you know. Today I had a real shitstorm of fear came up at point step number 70 or at the end of the session or before the session. It took me a long time to drop in. I started learning about myself. I started, instead of trying to control these emotions, I started getting curious about them from this fatherly, loving energy. And the more curiosity I started learning to have and self-love and ferocious self-love and acceptance of these emerging thoughts and emotions, the unpredictability about them, the more I learned about them, the more I was able to relate with Matilda, my queen. And instead of negating her emotions and her emerging unpredictable sort of thoughts as communicated with her words, I was able to have that lovely, kingly, open, curious, loving, accepting presence with what she was bringing to the table. It was just a natural effect. She wasn't the cause of anything, any inner challenges I was having in her presence. She was what was helping reveal a hidden inner aspect of this jar of secrets that I had learned to suppress. This changed everything. And my secondary masculine-feminine relationship has been revealing and has been a revelatory journey and has been improving exponentially ever since. Like Matilda, she looks at me, she's like amazed. She's like, I'm like a different man. I'm able to be present with her 99% of the time with whatever's coming up. Yeah, do I have days where she catches me off the hop? Yes, of course. The path to mastery. I mean, it's a non-stop, ever evolving process. So just hands up, full transparency. It's like I mean, 99% of the time is an over-exaggeration. I'm trying to blow my own trumpet a little bit too much. But like, more and more, do I have way more confidence in my relationship with Matilda? Yes. But it's, ironically, it's not by me trying to implement strategies in that relationship. I've actually, most of my training has just been in the primary level, my inner growth level, by focusing on the masculine and feminine relationship within myself. And it's an inner work through meditation, through journaling, through my breath work, through my coaching, men coaching me powerfully on this, through men's groups. And this is at the core essence of Kings of Freedom, is inviting men around the world to create a space in the online movement where you can learn this in a safe, sacred environment where you're never going to be shamed, where your magnificence is going to be celebrated, where you can enter and wherever you're at, fuck it, we've been all been through our own unique ways of being shamed out of our feminine connection, where you can learn how to emotion, what emotional mastery is about, where you can learn to drop into your body, get out of your brilliant head, but get into your body and start opening up to the jar of secrets. And there's where you can learn lots of tools of emotional mastery and what this process is about. It can be a frightening journey into self-growth as men, and that's why just having a private community where you can learn in a safe space is so crucial. It's of critical importance to have that safe space to lean in wherever you are in the path. And like, one constant part here is, you know, this might be quite a provocative thing, masculine and feminine and learning to deal with emotions. And maybe you're just like outward success and aggressive sort of at carving out, and, you know, you're the way you create in the world and manifest. You might be a master manifester in the outside world, and this might be frightening to lean into this. And I acknowledge where you're at, as always. Every man is at 10 out of 10 with the tools available to you. So I consciously honor you, and I will repeatedly do this in all of these episodes. I honor where you're at. You are magnificent as you are right now. No matter what your life situation is, you are showing up magnificently with the tools, with the emotional awareness that you were gifted growing up. You're playing a 10 out of 10 game. You know, so much in conscious masculinity and that competitive streak, it's like, who's the number one and who's number 10? It's almost like it's this tendency to prove ourselves, because within sort of unconscious masculinity, that, as I say, that competitive thing, there's a winner and there's a loser. So the fear is that we'll come into other men where other men in the room will be, they're better than me, and I'm only a beginner here, and I'm sort of crap at this emotional thing. No, that is not the point. You're beautiful and perfect and amazing where you're at. Now, your fullest freedom, however, no matter how brilliant you are where you're at, and I honor where you're at, you know, masculine mastery is about mastering the masculine and feminine primary relationship. You can work at your sacred marriage, your sacred relationship with the secondary feminine, and I honor all efforts there. But if you don't get to the root core of it, all those efforts there, it's like, it's effectively, it's just the most highly inefficient, ineffective way to go at improving your relationship with the external feminine, with the goddess, with the beautiful and beloved woman in your life. The most inefficient and effective way is to focus on new strategies, new ways of showing up in that relationship. The most effective way is dealing with the inner, sacred, primary, masculine, feminine way. This has been revealed to me through my breathwork. As I say, guys, like, full transparency, I was totally humiliated. And humiliated, I keep saying this, it's a beautiful process. We don't like the word humiliation as men, because there again, it gets into this, you know, it cracks the outer shell. We sort of fear that we will be revealed to be weak. It's not about that. Powerful men want to know where improvements can be made, where growth opportunities exist. Within Kings of Freedom, in this podcast, your magnificence, the foundation is that your magnificence will always be acknowledged. Yet growth opportunities, part of masculine mastery, part of the path to mastery in any endeavor in life, sporting, inner work, business, relationship, any path to mastery involves unfuckwithable, incessant focus on where the growth opportunities are. And there are massive growth opportunities in learning emotional mastery. So that's really at the core essence of masculine and feminine relationships and improving your capacity to show up as a conscious king, a conscious masculine heart warrior. It's essential to be able to become the witnessing awareness, the king archetype that can look on from a ferocious, self-loving and accepting manner and see the growth opportunities from this fatherly energy by getting curious. You see these non-stop growth opportunities where you can improve your capacity to deal with these unpredictable thoughts that come up. The inner critic, the full display of that as you lean in and expand as a man. You know, conscious kings, expansion is the game we play. If you expand beyond your comfort zones and nudge beyond your comfort zones, I mean, you're going to get this kick up of inner critic. You're going to get these unpredictable thoughts, uncomfortable thoughts with corresponding deeply uncomfortable emotions. That's the feminine. And it's learning to master that balance where you don't suppress, you don't sedate, you don't harden up more and more into suppression of that, like I did with my breathwork, like you may have done in certain aspects. Because when we harden up the exterior, we harden up to the feminine. And when we harden up to the feminine, you know, your loved ones, your queen, your goddess, you harden up to them and they really feel that. If that happens long term, that's going to erode the depth of trust, the depth of connection and safety within that relationship. And, well, you know, sexual polarity, everything goes sort of downhill after that. And that's not what we want as kings of freedom. We want masculine mastery is nothing if we're not mastering our deep intimate relationships. And by extension, you know, our relationships with our children and other people. Because, you know, emerging emotions and thoughts are feminine within us. You're going to find that even with other men, you know, that inner masculine feminine relationship, there's going to be emerging fucking ferocious emotions with challenging men, provocative men. The more powerful the group of men, the more provocative they're going to be. So your power as a king of freedom, your freedom is going to be measured by your capacity to deal eloquently, lovingly, with full acceptance of the emerging thoughts and emotions, your feminine. As you ground in at that masculine core of that witnessing awareness, that king archetype. It's a beautiful area of inner study, of inner growth. It's an area of growth that I know in my own life, I try to excel within packing my mind full of information from podcasts, from books, from online courses, etc. But I was really trying to master life by spiritually bypassing this awkward stuff, this shadow side, the stuff that I was suppressing. And to be honest, I was going nowhere fast. But a lot of guys, we try to do this without wanting to lean into this vulnerable underbelly. But the kingly man has a soft front and a strong spine. You know, with that inner mastery, you're able to have the soft front to feel what's coming on, to be able to lean into that creative flowing movement, the relational empathy and intuitive capacity of the feminine that is from the feeling body, that is from being able to be comfortable and accepting of those emotions and those thoughts emerging, whilst you counterbalance that with the sacred masculine, which is the beautiful presence, leadership, directionality, structure, spaciousness, that linearity, that inner discernment, having that assertive discipline, that core strong confidence within you, being purpose driven and goal driven, and all that brilliance. That's brilliant. I love that, your expression of that, my own expression of that. I celebrate that, and we do that within Kings of Freedom. Yet there's that balance, the fully integrated, most powerful version, the King of Freedom that you are, only comes with that masculine and feminine balance, which are mastery of being the witnessing presence, the awareness, that whole space, and mastery for the emerging unpredictable thoughts and emotions. that's when you become unstoppable. That's when you become an unfuckwithable, unapologetic, free-loving king. The king that you were born to be. A king of freedom. Guys, so appreciative of your presence here. Hope this has been of benefit to you in your life, in your inner life. That it creates some transformation for you. That's of deep benefit to you to bring clarity, breakthrough and insights that will improve your life and be of benefit to your life externally as a king in your life and be of benefit to people in your life and your mission in the external world. Loving your presence, loving you having taken time out of your day to listen in, looking forward to hearing from you again. And to the next episode, guys, deep bows and big love.